are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This week, we're doing something a little bit different. We were talking about iceberg stuff in recent weeks. We had our patron chat recently, but this week we have a very special guest to talk about the lore behind the Night Market and what's going on with that, with some cool theories that I haven't heard yet. Lotus heard something about this. I haven't heard yet. I'm excited to get into it. But Tom and Lotus, and also Benefactor is joining us. Benefactor, welcome to the show. It's so nice to have you on. You come up a lot. Les Lotus and I are talking about different people in the community. And how would people know you? Where would they recognize you from?
Thank you. I'm happy to be on the show. I'm Benefactor. I represent the Imperial Library. So it's the imperiallibrary.info. We hold all the books from every Elder Scrolls game and a lot of out-of-game text as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we've been referencing some of the different things on the site recently with the iceberg episodes.
Benefactor is literally my connection from UESP to the Imperial Library, which we're always like, oh yeah, there's pretty much two go-tos that you can do for every single thing, and you'll probably find it between the two. And I was going to say, the Imperial Library, as we've mentioned before, it just does so much with out-of-game documentation that is also incredibly useful. It's where we pull almost all of the Kirkbride references from.
Right, Ted Peterson, like a lot of that stuff. We've done, in the last 6 months, we've used your website so many times. So thank you for what you do. It definitely helps us when we're doubling down on, you know, research and like, oh, wait, is this really what I remember? And looking things back up. So welcome. We're so glad that you're here. Now, Lotus, I don't know if you want to give people an introduction to the Night Market. It's something that's been available in ESO for just a little while now. And a number of people have jumped back in. I know you guys have talked about it on Tales, but for our listeners, can you give them just kind of a brief breakdown? And so our listeners know, we're not going so much into the mechanics of this as the what's actually going on in the lore and how does this place exist and who's behind it and all of that. So
So if you're interested in the gameplay stuff, you can check out Tales of Tamriel. That's fine. We went on a 2-hour rant last time about how much fun Ark was having with it, but it's like a group thing. So that's just the long.
Right. And some people are like, wow, it's really hard and they're getting killed. And some people are like, yeah, that's great. And other people are like, it's too hard. So there's a whole debate around that. We're not going to get into that here, but just like to give them like the quick little 2-minute summary about like, what even is it?
So the Night Market is actually this like world between worlds. We've talked about Fargrave on the show before, which is like this connecting plane that kind of attaches Nirn and portions of Oblivion.
It's like its own little mini realm of Oblivion that's kind of in between lots of things.
A lot of times I look at it like, because I've mentioned many times that I love the art style to Fargrave. Mm-hmm. And it's like this, it makes me think of like a connecting bridge between the worlds type of deal.
And there's people like and Daedra, and there's a whole like mix of stuff going on there.
Not all the Daedra are hostile in this area. It's a much more neutral zone, which is an interesting twist because oftentimes you don't really have too many cordial situations involving Daedra and mortals. But the Night Market is essentially a marketplace section that is not always there. It shifts in and out. And it's essentially like a hub plaza that's, how could I put this? Almost like the part you're doing is it's got some sieging aspects that you're dealing with at the moment. It's where all the combat's happening. And there's several factions from the Fargrave area that are, vying for position in this zone. You've got the Glittering Goad, the Ruckus, and the Thousand Eyes. Everybody should just pledge to the Thousand Eyes. Right. They're the coolest.
And correct me if I'm wrong here. One of them is like the money one. One of them is like the strength and power one. And one of them is like the knowledge one, right?
Yes, you can condense it totally down to the gold, the people who love money.
Yeah.
The the makeshift fighters guild companions,
right.
And then Hermaeus Mora's team,
the secret knowledge team. Yeah.
And that's why I just go a Thousand Eyes. It's fine. Also, Thousand Eyes has the best item you can get out of it. But it's a zone of a zone, which is what's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. just there temporarily, and then it will come back in phases. So that's really what it is, and what you're doing in game is experiencing this and siding with the sides that are battling in these districts to do various tasks and stuff like that.
Okay, so you go into this, you meet a guy outside the zone, you pick a faction, and then for the season, for as long as this zone is open, and it's only open for a few weeks, right? Then
I believe it's actually 2 months. It's a decent amount of time. It is time restricted from a gameplay perspective to go in line with the fact that it's a shifting market. Mm-hmm. And the people you pledge your allegiance to fighting with and researching with and all of that, whatever their goals are, that is who you are with for this.
Right. And so you get teamed up with everyone else who's of that faction, and you go into the middle and you fight over stuff.
You can work with others as well. You're not overtly murdering each other. It's not a PvP based zone. So although it's more of a friendly competition, I would say, between the sides, as opposed to cutthroat, like in Cyrodiil, you're all literally at war with each other.
Right.
This, you all have a similar interest in the night market,
and you're not fighting each other directly so much as you're fighting a bunch of PvE monsters,
a lot
and
of Daedra
like
you're fighting waves of Daedra, you're fighting they're bosses in game, but district leaders and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Collecting data, collecting various things, because you had mentioned the knowledge thing, so obviously that's a big go-to for the Thousand Eyes, but all of them benefit from it.
Right.
Are various quests, people are lost out there, stuff like that, that you can bring back to safety. All of these things that benefit your group, mm-hmm. but it doesn't necessarily mean... It's more of a Thieves Guild idea than a Dark Brotherhood idea where, might both be trying to outdo each other to get a thing, but the goal is not to murder my opponent so they can't do the thing.
Right. I like what Rob writes in chat. The warrior, the mage, and the thief, right? The warrior is power, the mage is information, and the thief is money.
For sure,
So that totally tracks.
I don't think that's... accidental.
It seems very intentional, so thanks for pointing that out, Rob. Very much so. But here, I want to give Benefactor's been hanging out with us.
Yeah, I was going to say, so that's our setup. I would let's give the floor to Benefactor to kind of explain some of the stuff that he's encountered with it, because the way you explore some of the areas to find stuff is rather impressive compared to some of that. I was I read that book. You're I read that and I found these three, and I was didn't even know those were there.
Yeah. So is there anything that we haven't said yet that you would like to expand on or clarify, Benefactor?
Of course. Each of the different factions, like you're stating, they have their own individual goals, but they can't, they work together, but they're competing against each other to gain the most favor by learning the most about these districts that have opened. So each iteration of the night market is slightly different from the previous iteration. It may be a different zone altogether, according to the lore. And so they are competing against each other to discover what that zone contains and the secrets that it may hold. And if you look at some of the books within the night market, you'll see that they are carrying back artifacts from these zones that may not be native to our Tamriel, which gives us insights into what may have occurred within these zones that brought them into the state that they are today.
Okay, so I immediately have questions, right? Not native to Tamriel, meaning from Planes of Oblivion? Are they Daedric Prince items, or are they from a different Kelpa? Or
It depends on how spoilery that we want to get.
This is a lore cast, so
lore cast, we do kind of try to be more cognizant on tales. Lore cast, I would say, if you're listening to this, you want to know the details, so you can spoil things.
Right.
If you want to be totally blind to this, definitely maybe wait until you played more.
Yeah.
But we are going to get into the actual theories and details of the night.
Absolutely,
market.
And the general thought is, if you're listening to a lore show, you're there for the spoilers, right?
Like, right, it's got it.
That's why you're here. So if you're not,
if you want to
play. If you're not, save the episode, go play a bit, explore, and then come back and see if it verifies any of your theories. But
in that case, big spoiler, Fargrave, we learn, is one of the realms of Athelia, the Prince of Many Paths. Mm-hmm. And so using that logic, it's safe to assume, in my opinion, that these other realms that we are encroaching upon are other realms of that are on the many paths, doors to the many paths. So in each of these, there seems to be a calamity or something that happened that brought it into the state that it's in. So when you explore each of these zones, you're finding different hints at what may have occurred to bring it into its current state. And that's the beauty of these zones, is that there's no right or wrong answer. It's just theories on what could have happened. And I'm looking forward to the community putting together some of the clues and figuring out what they believe happened.
Yeah. So are we talking like calamities, like the ending of a, let's back up a little bit. We've talked about Athelia before. That was a big thing when that rolled out. Yeah, and then
from Necrom into Gold Road, that was a 2-year arc.
Right. And then the splintering of realities and how there might be multiple realities and all of this. And Athelia has a lot to do with that. But are we talking about like some other multiversal version of Tamriel that ceased to exist in some sort of calamity, like the end of time happened and this piece of it is now separated and you're discovering that? Is that kind of what we're talking about?
That's what the primary theory I've found in most of the communities is that these are parts of the many paths where something happened that brought disaster to these other realms. With that in mind, we do know that going back a little bit to the origins of the Night Market. There is a set point in time that we know that the Night Market first opened. The first time ever.
Yeah, like the origins.
Wow. Okay.
And so we have a few books that outline those origins to where when it opened, the residents of Fargrave thought that it was going to be a new district that was open forever. And they had a group called the Pathfinders. And these group of Daedra went into it, and they were exploring this new realm, cataloging it. And there was a whole lot of chaos that was happening with this brand new realm that opened. When I say chaos, that's an important thing to remember for a theory that we'll get into a little bit later.
Okay. So what kind of, when you say chaos, are you talking about like people running around going, or like the world itself was shifting uncontrollably?
So we know Daedra don't really, they don't embody change as much. When a realm undergoes a change, it upsets the status quo. Mm-hmm. You didn't have barriers in place that are in the current Night Market, meaning that there was enemies coming through from the other side, and then you had the Pathfinders going through to the Night Market, and it would have been chaos at that point, according to the books that we have, that led to many factions vying for power, for controlling this new region.
Okay. Yeah, I like that point about the Daedra, and like they want things to be consistent in the same way always. And it's one of those things that they don't understand about mortals and how malleable and adjusting people can be.
Like change is a painful experience.
Right. Right. They don't like change. Whereas like change is the thing that mortals deal with all the time. The world is constantly changing.
Based on time, we're always changing.
Right. Right. Yeah. We start as little things and we grow up and we get older. Yeah,
we literally are changing every second.
Right. Right. And so that's interesting. Okay. So you've got this like shifting realm, which to the Daedra is mysterious and disturbing on kind of a fundamental level. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, the fact that it doesn't sit is just got to be like, that's just, I can't imagine when you're focused on being like just an existing thing, mm-hmm. and essentially the world underneath your feet is changing and it's like all you want to do is stay grounded and you can't do it. It just has to be a very unsettling feeling the entire time.
Of course. And what caused even more chaos was the end of that first night market, where the doors shut. And when the doors shut, there were planeswalkers that were on the other side of the door.
Oh.
And when that occurred, they got left in that alternate world. I believe it was Defested Maw was the name that they named that first realm.
I think that's right.
Night market.
Sounds like a beautiful place. Sounds like a nice vacation.
Very inviting.
Destination.
Yeah. Very inviting.
Where are you going for your vacation? The Infested Maw.
It was the inside of a giant skull. Is what they stated it was. So,
that's where I spend most of my time.
Well, yeah, again, very relaxing.
People say I have a big head sometimes. Anyway, go on.
And so once that stopped, then they started to bring order again to the night market, and that's when you started to have these factions form, which eventually led to the current factions that are vying for favor in the night market. I just thought that backstory is very interesting as it relates a lot to how these Daedra have come to accept this change that happens, but they're prepared for it going forward.
To your point on that, one of the things that I have found interesting, because I find the night market has sort of expanded upon this, like you were just talking about. But from when Fargrave was first introduced to Elder Scrolls Online, it is interesting because, again, we were just discussing how change is not really, for lack of a selling point to Daedra. Most of the denizens of Fargrave, and I think that's probably why you can interact with them, seem much more open to things not being exactly as you deal with majority of Daedra. Like they're
learned to adjust to the situation.
They almost have become more malleable to the situation they're in, just because it's, I almost want to say it's like a desensitizing experience. Well, we've been dealing with change enough that it's like, we can kind of make do with this. And
they got their sea legs. They're like people who haven't been on a boat, and then eventually you spend enough time on a boat and you get used to it.
You just get used to it. It's kind of like that's this middle ground when you're dealing with this district, with this demiplane, whatever you want to call Fargrave and its associated events. It sort of has a effect of the people who live there sort of don't fit the typical mold of a lot of Daedra. I mean, they do in a lot of ways, but it's just like they act different, they interact different. You can communicate with them and just trade with them casually and stuff like that a lot of times, which is not usually what you're dealing with when you're dealing with Daedra.
Right. So, okay, so we have the three different factions, and they all have different reasons for being there, like we discussed, power, wealth, knowledge, that sort of thing. What do we do? I know we get introduced to each of their leaders, and those are the people that we like talk to the most. What's the lore behind that for people who haven't explored that at all? Like, who are these leaders? I don't know, Benefactor, if you want to answer that one, or Lotus.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to jump in, feel free.
How about we talk about each one? I want to start with Malto.
Let's get into
rat.
It.
I was going to say the rat.
The Daedra.
Daedra, yeah.
He's my favorite of them all. Anything Hermaeus Moore, even slightly adjacent, is I always go for it. I want that knowledge. I'm always craving. So it fits right up my alley. And his faction is very, let's talk about him first. He's very silent. He never speaks. He talks through an intermediary, which is a Malmer, which I am loving the Malmer content that we're getting in ESO.
I do too.
Every DLC, we're getting more and more Malmer. Yep.
Oh, you just heard it right now. Elder Scrolls 6, Malmer, new race, new playable race here. Breaking news. Yep. Breaking news. That's not actually breaking news. Nobody quote me on that, but that would be amazing.
Well, what happens is if it ever does get announced, then quote Tom.
Then quote me and be like, holy crap, Tom predicted it. See, this is how predictions work. You throw enough stuff out there, and eventually one of your dumb ideas actually sticks for some reason. But anyway,
it's
go on.
It's going to happen one day.
One day.
So this Malmer gives you the quest to go into the night market and introduces you to several of the denizens to get you acquainted with it. But she was saved by the stage rat and recruited to basically be her mouth. And when you're talking to her, it almost seems like at times that she is taken over by the stage rat and who speaks through her with the same cadence that you would have seen from previous stage rats that we've encountered.
Right. Like some of the world destroying ones.
Yes. Yes. Now, there's a very interesting feature of Malta that I find very fascinating. If you look at his tail, you will see that there is a knot on his tail. And if you look at the emblem for the faction, the Thousand Eyes, you'll see that it is a group of rats all together being tied together by their tail, which is, I believe it's called a rat king. You have it, we have several instances in real life to where rats in small quarters, they get their tails intertwined and they become a rat king because they're connected together.
That's horrifying. So by the way.
It's an absolutely horrifying thing.
This implies that he was a stage rat that was a part of a colony, but he's the only one either remaining or he got separated from that colony.
Right. Or somebody cut the other tails off. Yeah.
Yes. And, the Malmor, she's another story altogether that's very fascinating. If you talk to her, she will, you can actually ask her for knowledge, and she will give you a word of the day and a definition, such as what the spots on an Elder Scroll are that you see in your vision. I think it's called Libercus. And there's like 10 or so of these words she'll give you that give that just add a little bit more flavor to the world.
That's cool. All right. So there's a lot there. Like I get where you're going with this. There's these little hints, like something else that's going on, something a little bit deeper.
Yeah. The story's there, but you need to look for a lot more of it than they've, I will say ESO does a lot of good storytelling, but some of it, they kind of just like, they really kind of shove it in your face. And I find this whole district has been kind of interesting because a lot of it is subtle.
And sometimes it's like they'll reiterate the same thing over and over again. It's not very deep. And then it's like, okay, well, there's nothing else here. Can we move the story forward, please?
Correct. Right. and I feel that they sort of have changed several things, but this district, a lot more of it is just kind of subtly there, like you pointed out. It was funny when you were talking about the rat tail thing. I brought it up and I was looking at it. I was like, I did not even notice that.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah. I actually didn't know about that one until you just said that one.
But I recommend anyone that goes into the night market, take a minute or two to just walk around and view the interactions that the NPCs are taking. There's lots of small stories and environmental storytelling that's going on that if you don't take your time, that you won't realize is happening. And that's not just with the Thousand Eyes, but that's all three factions.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, so that was the Thousand Eyes. Anything else about them, or do you want to move on to the next one?
Lotus, you want to take the next one?
No, it's all right. I'll actually let you kind of, cause you've got, I feel like you've got a good grasp of this. And since you're not on as much, I was going to like, case in point, I didn't even notice the rat tail. So I know the overview of these. I'm curious if there's a couple more things I'm about to learn from these two.
There's
so,
a big Khajiit, right? There's the big kitty cat one.
Yeah. All right.
What's the deal with that one? Because like we talked about earlier, I haven't really dug into this.
Yeah. So we're going straight to the ruckus next.
Sure. So, let's talk about them.
I do apologize. I've been focusing most of my attention on the Thousand Eyes, so I'm not as familiar with the other two faction leaders, but I do know a little bit. With the Khajiit leader, we do know that he has a very mysterious past. His followers, there's a book right near him that you can read that gives like 15 or so different backgrounds that they've heard were his background. Where his origins were from. And some of them are quite hilarious. I don't remember them off the top of my head, but I would definitely recommend reading it fully through.
Trying to grab related books.
Just trying to look stuff up.
Yeah, you can now, go ahead. I'm actually grabbing the one because I know which one you're talking about.
What first doc is he? Cinch?
I believe he's a Cinchay Rot. Yeah, I think he's a Cinchay Rot.
Okay. He's one of the big ones. Yeah.
Yes, he is one of the big ones. Correct.
And I don't remember who's tied to which faction. What is the theme of his faction?
They are similar to mercenaries. They're mostly, there's a lot of mortals that go to this faction. There are some other Daedra that follow him as well, but you're seeing more mortals following him. And they're in this to make a name for themselves. They're the newcomers of the three factions. The other two are already established. He's making a name, becoming the third faction.
Right. And from what I understand, the Daedra, who have been doing this for a long time, this was kind of a, again, they don't like change, but also this feels like, oh, they're the upstarts. This has been our thing. They kind of came out of nowhere or whatever, and they're kind of shaking things up. And who's the guy you talked to when you first go in? What was his name?
The curator.
The curator. And the curator notes something about how he respects. He's like, they're not very, they're not as powerful or whatever, knowledgeable or whatever as the others yet, but he respects the gall to go do that sort of thing. This idea of like, well, he's taking a shot at it, so good for him. That's kind of the attitude I got from that. Does that sound right?
The curator is an interesting figure. We should get into that a little bit more, but it's interesting that you state that because he, unlike other Daedra, he kind of revels a little bit in the chaos by accepting this newcomer.
Yeah, and he doesn't really have, from what I can tell at least, a little bit I've looked into it, and he's not on any one side. It seems more like he's just on the side of the whole thing, just its thing.
Yeah, I just want to make this interesting.
Right. Yeah, like a ringmaster going, well, you know, let's just let it all happen. And
yeah, it doesn't matter how it plays out as long as it's entertaining type of deal.
Right.
What do you call it? Before we jump too far away from that, I actually did want to look it up because I knew the book you were talking about. I'm not going to obviously read the whole thing, but the book you're looking for on the background, look for Letter for Moon Eye. And that's it's almost like an itemized list of possible theories of the background to that point.
Oh, interesting.
And yeah, so just a couple of them, because there are a ton of them, so I'm not going to read them all, but they are really kind of funny to the point of you escaped from one of the past districts. The person I talked to was surely killed there, so nobody knows what the actual background is. Okay, that's pretty okay, cool. You're not actually real, and you're just a manifestation of somebody's mortal dream. Oh, okay. You're a plant from House Hexos, and they're here to overthrow the grasp hand. You're half undead from the litter of the moon beast. Don't ask me what either of these things actually mean. These Weird. Are the snippets for his background, and it's just pages of this. So it is a pretty funny read if you want to have, because they're all kind of all over the place, so you don't get any actual idea of what it is. So the only one that I will say, because we talk about Maik the Liar quite frequently on this show, and so one of the things that I do like about this series is occasionally it will break the fourth wall. One of the lines I find very funny, because it is very fourth wall breaking, is plenty of variations of you being some sort of con man, just like Paracuti. In parentheses, who? Paracuti, as many people know, is the in-game vendor for buying crown plates.
That's great.
I love
so
how they
have on the nose.
Lean into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so that's why I just wanted to let people know, like, yeah, it's pretty funny. And I was like, oh, let me just grab the book real quick, because I remember laughing at a few of those. So, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. All right. So that's the first two. The third one. What's the deal with the third group and their leader?
So the Glittering Gold is a faction that is, they're worried about is making more and more money. They are the merchants of the group. They honestly remind me a lot of House Lalu from Morrowind.
200%.
They're out there to make the best deal, to
Yep.
To get the best items to sell and to procure the most favor, to make sure that their status is the highest it can be. That's why when you look at the three districts, you see that the Thousand Eyes, they're in a small little cave. Then you have the Ruckus, which is off in the corner. And then the Glitter and Gold, you have to go up several flights of steps. They view themselves as up high compared above to everybody. The other denizens.
Yeah.
They see themselves as better. And that's where the other factions look at them as more of someone that's out to make a quick buck. And while compared to the fighters or the knowledge seekers of the other factions.
Right, right. Okay, so are there any secrets people are debating about them? Or anything else that, like, it seems like everybody's got little hints of something, you know?
There's little hints here and there, but there's not a really, I haven't seen a huge mystery, not as much as the other two factions.
Yeah, cool. And the zone itself is it, one of the things that I like so much is we've got these three factions that we're sort of starting to find out about because we've never really seen anything from them prior. It's not like they just, oh, this was just, you know, oh, it's the Fighters Guild here. Oh, it's the Mages Guild. Oh, it's the, it's like, okay, well, right. No, these are new groups like for this area type of thing. So you've got the story of the zone, which is kind of like, what happened here and what you're related to. And then it's slowly starting to uncover these groups that are here that you can essentially work for, do whatever. But I kind of like the fact that the zone itself is almost the intrigue and you're just there as part of a group to get answers, so to speak, rather than the characters being, because I find, don't get me wrong, I like the characters in the Elder Scrolls, but oftentimes it's the world that I find so enticing more than the characters themselves. Right. The characters just flesh out that world. And I feel like Elder Scrolls Online has done a lot of character forward stories and character forward events. This event seems much more, the zone itself is the forefront and the characters just lead you to discovery in the zone, if that makes sense.
I agree 100%. This zone is not just about the story that you go through quest. It's about piecing together the world, looking at the environmental storytelling, putting together the small clues that you have to tell an overarching story about the main character, which is the actual zone itself.
Yeah.
Right. So on questions about the zone, we know that this is a transient thing. This is a thing that pops up and goes away and pops up and goes away. Is there a general consensus or understanding around what people expect for future, let's call them seasons. So let's say if this is the first season of the Night Market, it's going to go away, but then maybe they roll out season two a few months later. Is it going to look completely different? Is it going to be the same type of, like the physical layout's going to be the same, but maybe the factions are slightly different? Or maybe it's physically the same, but now everything's on fire? Like, what, do we have any sense of where this might go?
We do have a book that actually outlines that as the Night Market has gone on, the number of times that a zone returns has actually been increasing over time. Meaning that I suspect that we're going to see these same zones with minor alterations to them.
Okay, so same layouts of buildings and passageways and all of that.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not like all of a sudden, you know, season two, we're going to be like, oh, now it's a desert world.
Right.
But maybe?
The option that something new will come up. A brand new zone will pop up and we'll have something new to discover.
Interesting. Yeah, and much like what Benefactor was just saying, I definitely think both lore-wise as well as just logistically from a gameplay standpoint, sure. I think it will be similar to that point. Like, I do think it's going to be like a similar setting because everything kind of implies that it's got a similar experience, but depending upon what, essentially what path you're on, you might experience something different. So I think the layout could be very similar regardless of when you go or what season you're in, quote unquote, but what is in that district and the finer details of that district, depending upon like, oh, well, this is where it is now.
Right.
It could have a totally different experience within the same confines of like, here's this building. And just for a cheesy example, like you said, oh, is it on fire? Okay. In this existence, right. it's on fire. In yeah. this existence, yeah. like maybe it's
the
like
sky's
frozen.
Red and there are yeah, meteors falling out of the sky. Yeah.
Right. In this existence, it's covered in tentacle monsters. Like right. there's variations right. like that. Probably not quite so ridiculous and stupid like I just threw out. But
maybe exactly those things. It makes sense. Yeah. Every studio has only so many people who work on things, so much time to turn things around, right? Like you have to, so designing completely different zones every time, I'm sure would take a lot more time than doing something like updating certain sections of the same zone or just changing out the monsters that spawn or changing out some quests. That kind of stuff can be iterated on more quickly. So I'd imagine yes. that's the stuff we're going to see first, but it seems like they're not ruling out the possibility for maybe a season comes and it's completely different and then that goes away and we get another more familiar one again after that, if they wanted to.
For sure. And also speculation's fun. So, but like we're not obviously have anything like this type of thing is confirmed, but currently we have access to three districts of the night market, the Parch, the Skittering Precinct, and Sorrow's Friend. Those are our three precincts.
Sorrow has a friend.
Nothing says that those can only be the three precincts
right.
we deal with.
Right.
Like that, it's yes, those are probably going to have iterations depending upon what you're looking at the time and when it returns and stuff like that. But to your point, we might not be quite so fused into the night market only being these three
right.
things.
Or like, maybe two of them return and then one of them is different or something like that. Yeah.
Yes. Like that's exactly it. So like with the idea of constant change being kind of a theme here, this is sort of bringing to the table like, okay, yeah, no, there seems like the potential for some things to look familiar where others might be totally foreign or weird in another version. So
interesting. All right. So let's talk about the curator. You said that there's some interesting things yes. about the curator. What's going on with him?
I was actually
going
to suggest we talk about him now. So the curator is a very enigmatic figure that his first appearance, according to the sources that we have, was when the first night market opened, the very first time he appeared. According to several lore books, he didn't have any records before that first incident. So several documents we find of people looking for what his actual identity is, as it's a secret of sorts that he doesn't want people to find out. And there are several theories on what it could be.
He's Clavicus Vile.
That could be one.
that's the solution.
One of the primary in-universe theories is that he came from another universe. Districts
yeah.
whenever it opened and he came through. But one of the most interesting is relating to a name that he is associated with, not the curator. But in one book, you can find this in the Skittering District. Once you get your relic on top of one of the buildings, you'll find a document, a book telling you about what they have found about the curator. And he has a name called Nirolaz Kep.
Okay.
Now, some people have theorized that he could be related to an Umbra Kep. Umbra Kep is a shadow of conflict that is created when there's disorder in the world. Umbra Kep was the main villain of the Elder Scrolls Travel Shadowkeep. They believe that
Benefactor is the only person who will make Shadow Key references.
It's a little side trail here that reminds me of something I read recently. It was a very old post, I don't know, 8 years ago, where somebody was making some predictions about the next Elder Scrolls game. And Uncle Pete Hines responded, and the predictions were about Shadow Key being influenced for the lore of Elder Scrolls 6. And Pete Hines was like, I find it really cute that you think that we're going to design a game completely around the lore from a mobile game that nobody played. But anyway,
yeah,
go on. Oh,
so going on with that, now, I don't believe in this theory. I'll tell you why once I get finished, but I think it's important that we say what the community's thinking. So this thought is because the Keth part of the name, that he's related to a conflict. He first came into existence, as far as we know, when a conflict of the night market opened, which was known as a time of great chaos, which does support that theory. Now, why I am not someone that supports it is because of the first name, which is Nera'az. And that's because it is a variation of an Aeolid etymology, to where the first part, Nerel, is actually means final in Aeolid. So if Keth means conflict and Nerel means final, not knowing what the suffix changes that to, it would be something along the lines of final conflict.
Right, which seems similar to the way some of these places ended and then ended up in the night market.
Yes.
So, okay.
So he was the either one of two ways you can be able to spend this, because we don't know what that as suffix adjust the final two.
Okay.
So with that in mind, it could be he is the final conflict of a district. So he was the one that caused the downfall.
Okay. So another, just these things just pop into my head as you talk. He's the Akatosh of multiversal Tamriels?
Not quite. he did something in his original district that caused the night market, a calamity of his own that caused the night market to exist and to occur. That's one theory. Another way that you could take final conflict is he's the finalizer of conflict, meaning that he is the person that settles conflict, which would put him into a position of finding people to settle the conflicts of these districts. So not so much of a person that caused destruction, but somebody that's there as a warden to keep the destruction from spreading and to take care of the problem as they open to these different districts.
Interesting.
Yes, almost like a referee.
Yeah, yes. or a firefighter.
Putting out the fires. That I go towards is that he's that referee. It fits his character. He keeps the different factions of the night market from infighting and going against the stricture, which is the rules of Fargrave that they can't fight each other.
Got it. Okay. Well, that makes sense. All right.
Yeah. And I definitely switched to that theory as well, because it doesn't seem like he's just there to cause more chaos as so much as just like trying to balance what is currently happening. So I'm kind of more of like, yeah, no, I don't think he's necessarily here to just like nuke everything. It doesn't really fit the way the character even speaks much.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, cool. Man, this is a lot deeper than I initially on first looks, right? Like they do the marketing and then you get into like some of the videos they release and I'm like, okay, I get it. I get this.
Seems fun, but that's one of the things that I find this series, like Elder Scrolls Online does so well, because they obviously need to make it a little more gameplay forward, even than some of the single player games, but they never really lose track of the fact that it's like, the story and world is what makes people connect to this. And I appreciate they take the care to make sure that they can come up with some explanation to tie it together. And when they're allowed to really ruminate on it for a while, it's like, oh, you get some pretty cool things that end up giving you at bare minimum backgrounds to these other things that, oh, well, now we have more context to this other thing from the mainline series because of this sub thing that ESO brought forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting stuff. Well, Benefactor, I know we're getting close to the end of the show. Is there anything else you wanted to share before we wrap things up?
No, I think that we covered the main topics of the evening.
Okay. Would you recommend people dive in and take a look for themselves and see what they can make of this?
100%. I want to say that from a gameplay perspective, even if you're a solo player, the group finder has been wonderful for being able to find a group for any of the content that you're wanting to go into. Even if you don't want to join a group, I would suggest joining it just to visit each of the districts at least once, have a look around with a group and see how it feels to you and see what stories that you find out there and what piques your interest.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
Yep. Cool. Couldn't agree more.
Sounds good.
Use the group finder and absolutely just like, you don't need to. This is an open world thing. It's not the way trials are run. You can tag along. Like, you don't need to be, nobody's getting mad at each other for somebody blowing up in a district off to the side and getting turned into ash. It's fine because you're just there to help. And oftentimes just more people, even if you're just exploding, you're pulling attention off somebody else who's doing the objective. So it makes their life easier. So it's much more of a communal thing than some of the other group activities. And it's totally worth just like, you don't have to talk. You can just kind of explore it with people. And I think there's a lot of promise there. And you might, you know, find people that you really gel with, and then you end up having yourself a whole group at that point or whatever. But it's absolutely, I can't recommend at least giving it a try enough.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'll have to dive in some more and get deeper into this because I haven't given it a lot of time yet. But thank you for joining us, Benefactor. We're going to take a quick little transition break. We have to go thank our patrons. We've got our random UESP page. We're going to see what shows up. And then we're going to say goodbye to Benefactor. And thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with us. But we'll be back in just a second. I feel like there's something universal about just being a human being in the 21st century and struggling with weight. I know it's something that I've had to deal with, and I go in and out of exercising more and having a better diet, and then I ruin it by eating more pizza and tacos and whatever else. And I know I'm not the only one who feels this way. And diet and exercise are great, but sometimes you need a little bit more. You can lose 20% more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise with Wegovy at Hims. It regulates your appetite so you eat less, and Wegovy is the first ever GLP-1 pill for weight loss, so there's no needles. You can get everything through Hims, so it all happens online. You'll be connected with a licensed provider who helps determine if this is the right treatment for you, and if you're prescribed, your medication is delivered directly to your front door. No insurance is necessary. There's a range of GLP-1 options, and they give you a lot of extra support with 24/7 messaging, team care, in-app lifestyle and nutrition support, recipes, and meal plans. They're not just going to sell you the product. They're going to support you and make sure that you do what is right for you. So are you ready to reach your goals? Visit hims.com/scrollslore to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's hims.com/scrollslore. hims.com/scrollslore. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit hims.com.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
So thanks to all of our patrons for making this show possible, and welcome to our newest patron, Joel C. Thanks for signing up. Patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast if you'd like to get ad-free episodes and a bunch of other stuff like joining us on our patron chats. We have, it's the middle of the month right now, so we have one coming up in 2 weeks on the 28th. Plenty of time to sign up if you'd like to join us and talk about whatever Elder Scrolls stuff you'd like to talk about. Also, thank you to our Daedric Prince level patrons, Kira C, Blinding Vision, Hersin, Peter R, Austin B, and Mintaka. Thank you so much for your continued support as well. Also, you can help us out by leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll read those out on a future episode, or some nice comments on Spotify, or joining us on the Discord to nerd out about Elder Scrolls stuff, or play Lotus. You had people playing on ESO together.
If you are part of, you don't need to be part of the Lorecasters Guild. That's totally optional. You're welcome to join us, clearly. But if you want to join us Sunday nights, right around 8 p.m. Eastern, Yeah, we're going to do a Sunday night run of the night market. So if you're interested in testing it out, and we had people of all different skill levels, people joined for 15 minutes, people joined for 3 hours, because I kind of lost track of time and how long we had been in there, and I really regretted it at work the next day, but it was super fun. We just go around, and everybody was just, we were just in one big party chat. People could come and go as they pleased, all different like skill levels. We can ask anybody who's part of the group. I think we had between 6 and 9 people literally all night.
That's great.
And then when we did some of the major, you know, calamity fights, we opened Group Finder and a couple randoms would jump in, and a couple of them stuck with us for a while because they had fun. So we're That's just awesome. Like, yeah, just stay with us. So it's a super fun time, and we're happy to have you come join us. And I think each of the platforms is running something like that, but I can at least vouch for the PlayStation North America one.
There you go. And you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord. There's a place on there where you can sign up and be part of the guilds and all of that. So go check that out. But before we say goodbye to Benefactor, this is always fun. We do a random UESP page, which means it could be anything. Anything
Please
at all.
Please be Shadow Key.
We just hit the random button. It's not Shadow Key this week. It's actually an ESO thing. It's under ESO Hats Collectible. It's the
These really are as random as it gets.
It's the Radius Mask. So this was it says here, Clockwork Apostles who must venture into the frequently inclement weather outside the Brass Fortress protect their eyes and faces by wearing a Radius Mask of synthetic wool and vitrine. Mysterious. It actually says mysterious. Perfect. I have this. This is one of the I've used this look on my main character. Really?
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like a whole head covering with these little white eyes on what's like a leather, you know, mask with a hood. And I the Khajiit one has the little Khajiit ears.
It's got the little Khajiit ears, of course.
Yep, it's very good. Are you familiar with this one, Benefactor?
I think I actually own it as well. I think I picked it up. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it came up from one of the crates.
Yeah, the Flame Atronach crate. Yeah, you're correct.
Okay, yep. Yeah.
And it was a long time ago I picked that one up.
Nice. Yeah. So yeah, I could tell you more about it. Like the price, you guys don't want to know. Anyway, that's the random page. Benefactor, thank you so much. Is there any ways that people can get a hold of you, or is there anything else cool you're doing that you want to share, put out into the world? What's going on?
Thank you. You can get a hold of me through either Twitter, where I go by Benefactor. You can also go to the Imperial Library, and we also have a Discord that you can be able to join and be able to message any of us. Any of the librarians are very nice and always willing to help.
As are all librarians. Thanks for taking the time to join us and sharing all that knowledge. There's a lot of cool stuff I love learning about, and I didn't know already, so I really do appreciate it.
I knew Benefactor would have some things that I didn't know about, so I was like, oh no,
that's awesome.
It's very topical. So
yes, anytime there's some cool new lore out there and you want to join us on the show and talk about it, just reach out. We're always happy to have people. I mean, it's really nice for me and Lotus to be able to just be like, you know what, this person's got information, I don't have to do research for this episode, we'll just learn from them.
That's why I was like, well, I know some night market stuff, but it sounds like we got more coming. So that's why I was like, I love this.
Awesome. Yeah. So don't be a stranger. Thank you for joining us. Lotus, anything else going on you want to share?
No, I was going to say, not really. We're probably going to be recording an episode of Tales this week. We really, Ark just gushed about the night market for like a very long time. Last episode of Tales. I think we're probably going to do another one this weekend. As I've now had more than like, oh, I got to play for like 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's more like, oh, I got to play for several hours, several times.
Yeah.
It is my biggest complaint about it is make sure you have a clock available, because I very quickly would lose track of time. I was like, oh, I've been in here for like a half an hour. I'm like, oh, I've been in here for a lot longer than a half an hour. It's really fun and engaging. And I was going to say, so we'll probably be recording that. And I posted, I think we're all up to date on my Daggerfall live stream stuff on YouTube. I think they're all up to date. So at some point soon, I'm going to have to try to come to the conclusion of that game, and we can post those. But
nice.
That's just on my YouTube if you're interested in those.
Nice. And my stuff, of course, I do the Fallout Lorecast, the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, and Retro Recall. And we're playing through all the first four major Mario games this month. And it's been a lot of fun going back to those. And then next month, we're playing four of the hardest games ever released on Super Nintendo and Genesis. It's terrible. And it's going to be awesome. So go check out Retro Recall if you haven't already. But thank you, Benefactor, again, for joining us. And Lotus, for being here. Chat, thanks for joining us as well. Lotus and I will be back next week, probably with another Iceberg episode, because we're
we'll go back to our Iceberg, digging deeper
into that stuff. But, you know, we bounce around between things every week. But thanks for being here and supporting the show. And go check out the Night Market. Let us know what you think. Let us know what faction you decided to join. And if you discover any other cool lore that we haven't discussed yet. So we'd love to hear more about it. But everyone, thank you for being here. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.